Thankful this morning for each one of you that are here. Again, thankful to be here. And I am so thankful that try though they have for so many years, they've never found the bones of Jesus, nor will they ever. Because they're not laying under the ground somewhere. They're not still down in a tomb, but He's risen. And I am so thankful for the message that that brings, that the hope that it gives, and what it means to us today. The story of it has never grown old. The reality of it has never gone away. But it can be a reality in every one of our lives, and I am so thankful for that this morning. The Lord's been talking to me, and I ask for your prayers that the Word of the Lord would have free course among us, and that He would talk to us collectively here this morning. We need His help. Written on the board, the word normal. I'd like to begin in the 17th chapter of Acts. Acts, the 17th chapter. We'll begin here with the 5th verse. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." You know, Jesus came to make a difference. He didn't just come to be another great leader. He didn't just come to be another teacher of the people. He didn't just come to save us in our sins. But He came to make a difference. He came to turn the world upside down. And it was witnessed here. Folks, whenever Jesus came and did what He did, it made a difference in people's lives. People that were once one way, were no longer the same. Whenever Jesus touched them, whenever they found also the power of His resurrection, folks, they weren't the same. And neither will we be either whenever we find the power of His resurrection. Whenever we're able to experience the power that is in His blood. It does something to us, doesn't it? I'm so thankful that it does more than just change our name. I'm so thankful that it does more than just say, well, I've got somewhere I got to go on Sunday morning this Easter. It's just what we do on Easter time. But I am so thankful that what He did that first Easter, that first resurrection morning, was to come to bring life unto every one of us. Those of us that were dead in our trespasses and sins, which was every one of us. He came to change. He came to make a new creation out of us. He came to change the old ways and the old thoughts and the old lusts and desires. Folks, He came to give us a new heart. Not just a reformed or a remodeled heart. But He came to give us a new one. A new creation. A resurrection, I confess, has taken place within my breast. So the people here in the city, they could tell the difference. Whenever the work of Jesus was done in the lives of those that lived in the city, it made a difference. It turned the world as they said it. It's turned the world upside down. Things are different now. We can read of those in Ephesus whenever they were, it was a place that was given to the worship of Diana, to a pagan god. They worshiped Diana. And you can read of Demetrius even. He was a silversmith. He was one of the ones that made the shrines unto Diana. Their business began to suffer because Jesus had made a difference. Folks, you know He's still making a difference today. And if He's within us, He'll make a difference. It's more than just a name change. It's a life change. It's a heart change. The Lord will take the old desires and He'll transform them. It'll make a difference in our life. In more than the words we say, it will be evidenced by the things that we do evidenced by our desires, by our conversation, by the life that we live. And it was evidenced here. It began to make such a difference, and it began to spread throughout the city the message of Christianity. And these people were, they didn't just say, you know what, I'm gonna accept this as one of many beliefs. I'm going to accept that. That sounds good as well. So maybe there are some things that Jesus taught that I could learn from as well. But you can read where those at Ephesus that once had practiced idolatry. It says they took their books. They took them out in the middle of the street and they made a big heap of the books that represented their old life, their old ways, the way normal was. And Jesus turned normal upside down. They took the books and they burned them in the middle of the street, making a statement and a testimony. It's not me anymore. It doesn't belong in my house anymore. I'm changed. I'm a new person. And it was so much so that it got the attention of the rulers. It got the attention of those that were in power, of those that wanted things to continue as they had always continued. We want life to just continue and as normal as it can. But Jesus came to turn things upside down. He came to make a change in the normal religion of the day. We know the stories of Jesus' ministry and the times that He walked in the earth. The religious leaders rejected Him, didn't they? Persecuted Him, and they were the ones that sought for His life to be taken. They didn't want normal to be disrupted. They had a way, they had a system. They were comfortable in that, in their way of life, and the way the things had always gone, and they had a profession of religion, and they had something that they could wear that made them feel good about themselves, of the way that I am, and people even look at me, and they recognize me, and they have respect for me, and they realize that I'm a religious person, and they realize when I stand on the street corners that I'm really somebody special. But Jesus came to change what was normal. And I'm so thankful that He did. Call it radical, but that's what the Christians were and still are. Because Christ has come to make a difference. To turn our normal upside down. To turn the way life always was, the way we've always been, the way I've always thought, and the weaknesses that I've always succumbed to. He's come to change it, to make us a new creation. Jeremiah, the second chapter. The Lord dealing with a rebellious people. Children of Israel, many times, we heard about this morning in the Sunday school, some of it, that they would turn from the Lord, or they would forget the Lord and go on about their own ways. And the Lord would try to call after them, and the Lord would allow them to be taken into captivity. And in their hardship and in their distress, they would call out unto the Lord, and the Lord in His mercy would hear them so many times. But He likened them unto a wild donkey. Chapter 2 of Jeremiah. That is used to the wilderness. You've grown accustomed to being in the wilderness. You look at a wild animal and you compare it to a domesticated one. There's a difference. They're accustomed to being wild. They're not accustomed to being around people. They're not accustomed to being held and to being in the presence of people. What they're accustomed to is being out in the wild. What is normal for them is to be out in the wild, to be able to hide and to run for their life and those sorts of things. That's normal for them. The Lord said the children of Israel are like this. They have grown accustomed unto their own ways. Their own ways that they have made for themselves. They have entrenched themselves in it for so long. They've lived this way for so long that it's normal to them. It just seems like the way things ought to be. It's always been this way. I've always been this way. I don't see any other way. There was a young girl recently found in India. They guessed her age to be about 10 to 12 years old. She was found in a forest region, unclothed, sitting on the ground among the monkeys. And whenever she saw the people, and the people tried to come, assuming that she needed to be rescued, and the monkeys gathered around to her defense and ran the people off. And the girl was afraid of the people. She was frightened and wanted nothing to do with them and acting like a wild animal. When they were finally able to get the monkeys away from her, they took the girl in and took her into the hospital and tried to treat her. She was very thin and starving, and they said the best that they could tell, she was abandoned as a young child, and she's been living among the monkeys ever since. And she's been able, they've helped her to find food, and she acted like a monkey. They said that she, as she began to regain her strength, they would find her acting very erratically. They'd find her running down the halls of the hospital on all fours, eating food off the floor with her mouth. That was normal. That's all that she had ever known. She had been long enough in this setting, in this environment, that to her that was something that didn't seem unusual. But you notice someone else that hasn't been there. They could look at that and think, what are you doing? You don't eat that way. You don't have to. There's a better way than that. You don't have to always just act like a wild animal. Oh, Israel, that is accustomed to your wild ways, that has grown accustomed to the way that you live life, there's a better way. That's not normal. Jeremiah, the 13th chapter. Jeremiah chapter 13. 22nd verse is, "And if thou say in thine heart, wherefore come these things upon me? For the greatness of thine iniquity are thy skirts discovered, and thy heels made bare. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil." You know, we can live in a way so long. We make ruts for ourselves. We can live in a lifestyle, in a pattern of thinking that I have followed for so long, that to me it's a rut. I'm accustomed to it. I'm familiar with it. It's just what I naturally tend to gravitate towards. If I don't make any effort to do anything else, I just follow this course. I take this way. We hear the phrase sometimes, it's second nature to me. It's just something that is second nature to me, that I am so accustomed to. You know, he said, a life of sin is that way. That I can become so accustomed unto it. You know, there is a certain horror of sin. There should be. There is a certain disgust that should come with the things of the world. Whenever I look around at the effects that sin has had on our world today, I look at what marriages have become today. I look at what it's done to the family structure. I look at a country that's lost its moral bearings. And it should have a certain disgust to us. This is what sin has done. But did you know if we get too close, we'll become accustomed to it. If we get close enough, we won't smell the smell anymore. We won't feel the same horror that we one time felt. There is a conditioning that happens. That's why it is so important. We teach our children, be tender to the Lord. Stay close to the Lord, because you may be able to see today. And I can look, I'm thinking of one of my friends whenever I was growing up, that his father wasn't saved and he lived a life that wasn't a good life and he wasn't a good example. And I can remember talking to him and he'd say, I'm never going to be like my dad. I hate it. I see the way that he is. I'll never be like that. But you know, some smaller habits begin to come up. Some smaller places in his life where he began to play with the things of the world. He began to play with the toys that the devil offered to him. It wasn't the same things. But little by little, I've seen where he became accustomed. That became normal to him. And he's in the same place today that his father was. You know, there's a danger to every one of us. Folks, we can't get complacent with the devil. We can't get complacent with the things of this world, with sin. There may be a time that I can look at things and say, that's wrong. There was a time our nation could look at things our nation is doing today and say, that's despicable. That's awful. A civilized society should never condone these sorts of things. But you begin to accept the things of the devil long enough, and you'll become accustomed to it. You'll get to a place that I don't feel the same horror. That I can look at something that one time I used to look at. The scripture says it this way. Having their consciences seared by a hot iron. That I can get to a place that something that one time affected me. That one time I felt something within me. That drew back. They said, I shouldn't do this. And maybe as I go and I start to taste of it a little bit, there's still something that withdraws. I've heard of those young people among the saints. The saints' children that'll say, I'm trying to go out into the world. Those that are really honest. And say, I can't even enjoy it like my friends can. I'm not even able that because there's still something in there. Oh, let's raise our children the right way. Let's not teach them that the ways of sin are normal. Let's not teach them that that's what we're to be accustomed unto. There ought to be something within them that says, I don't want to go near the things the devil has to offer. Because if we're not careful, we'll become desensitized. And we'll get to a place that I'm like the monkey girl. That I've lived around it so long that I look at it and I say the behavior of the wild animals around me, of those that are pursuing the passions and the lust and the desires and the selfishness of the flesh, those that are living their lives after those sorts of things like wild animals, then I look at that and say, that's normal. It's all around me. I see it on every hand. And if we're not careful, folks, even being surrounded in our world around us, we can become desensitized to the things that are happening around us. May the Lord help us that we would realize what normal really is. Folks, it's not normal. The things our world's accepting today is not normal. Normal is not defined by majority vote. It shouldn't be. Ye that are accustomed to do evil, you can't change it. It's not within us. It's not within us. You know somebody in a condition like that. It's not even only can they change. Could that girl go eat off of a table? She could. But she didn't know she even had a need to. She had become so accustomed to another way. It's the danger of sin. We get into it and we begin to indulge ourselves a little bit. And I can get into a place that not only can I not change myself, but as I begin to get accustomed to it, I no longer even see a need to change myself. I no longer even recognize that I'm doing something that's not normal. I'm doing something that's not wholesome. The things that I'm participating in, they're damaging, they're harmful to me and to my family. I'm not even able to see it anymore. It's only but by the mercy of the Lord to allow our eyes to be open to say, this isn't right. There's something here that's missing. I'm thankful. I am so thankful the Lord is in the business of changing our nature. He's in the business of taking us from being a wild creature, following after the passions and the instincts and the impulses of the flesh. He's able to take it and change it and make us a new creation. Jeremiah 9 The Lord said also of the people who were rebellious that they have taught their tongue to speak lies. You ever known somebody that's lied so much that they don't even realize it? They've lied so much it's become second nature to them. That they can tell a lie and not even flinch at it. They can go and produce the biggest story and lie and feed somebody a line of it and never even draw back or never even flinch at it. Maybe even get to a point that they convince themselves of the lie. 2 Peter, the second chapter. 2 Peter chapter 2. Begin with the 20th verse. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than that after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. You know, to a pig, that's normal. It wasn't normal to the prodigal son. It shouldn't have been. When the prodigal son went down to work, spent all of his living, and he came to a place that he was broken, he was empty, he was bankrupt, he had nothing left. He wasn't even able to provide his own food, and he came to a point that wasn't normal. He came to a point that said, I would gladly eat what the pigs are eating right now. I gladly live where what they have is even better than what I have. That's not normal. No, it's not a normal way to live. Oh, I'm thankful that he still had something within him though. A memory of something better that said, I don't have to live this way. Whenever he came to himself, and he realized this isn't normal to be down here. It's not normal to live like this. The hired hands back at Father's house have better than this. And he went back. And he was restored. The scripture here says it's the pollutions of the world. It's filthy. It's dirty. It'll leave spots on you. Those that take fire into their bosom will be burned. We will have the smell of smoke on us. And if you smell something long enough, you ever notice that you quit smelling it? Whenever you go, and they were talking about ramps, I had my first experience with ramps yesterday and really enjoyed it. But I've heard stories about the smell of ramps. Now, it'll stick with you, but you become accustomed to it. And you're the only one in a room of folks that haven't eaten it that doesn't know that you smell like ramps. Everybody else is able to tell because there's something different that you have become accustomed to. You know, it's the way with the ways of the flesh. It's the way that it is with sin. That we can have ways about us that become so close to who we are that I don't even recognize any longer. There's something not right about that. There's something wrong with this picture. I have a smell about me. It smells like the sewer. It smells like the pollution of the world. Folks, the Lord has come to make us clean. Not to be in that which is normal to the sow, to return back to her normal ways of life, to turn back like the dog to the normal ways and nature of a dog. Folks, there's a nature that's better. There's a nature that has something more for us than what could just be second nature to us. The Lord has a better way for us than that. The world tries so hard to define normal. The world tries to tell us what is normal. Remember whenever Daniel and the Hebrew captives were taken into Babylon? They were brought in and said that you're going to be servants of the king now. So there's a way that you're going to have to present yourself. There's a way that you're going to have to live in order to be accepted. You can't do it any other way. The only way that you're going to be able to prosper in this environment that you're in now, you're not back in your own homeland now, you're in another land. There's only one way that you're going to be able to prosper here. Just go ahead and swallow and accept our ways. Go ahead and just conform yourself. We're giving you different names that are pagan names that changes your identity. And oh, by the way, you're going to have to eat the king's meat. There's just no choice about it. I know that you're not accustomed to that, but you're going to have to change your ways now. Because you can't prosper. There's no way that you're going to be able to stand before the king just eating that kind of stuff that you eat. You ever hear the world say things like that? You're not going to be able to make it. I remember in high school, English teacher, I really liked her. She was a good teacher. But I had taken some positions and stands that I didn't want to participate in watching what Hollywood put in front of me. And I stood by that, and she called me in one day and said, "Clint, I want to talk to you." She said, it's fine for you to have a conviction like that when you're at home, but you're getting ready to go out into the world. You're getting ready to grow up. And you're not going to be able to live like that in the world. You're not going to be able to go out when you have a normal life in the world. And be, you see, you're going to have to. You have no choice but to take our way. You have no choice but to conform yourself to our ways of thinking. What we tell you is normal is what you have to conform yourself to. But you remember what happened there to Daniel and those children? They took a stand. And they said, "I'm not going to change. I'm not going to conform myself." What does Romans 12 verse 2 say? "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Oh, folks, the world tries to conform us. The world tries to press us into their mold. They tell us this is what normal is. You have to fit this mold, and if you don't, you're not going to be able to prosper. You're not going to be able to live. You're not going to be able to get by. Folks, I want to tell you, normal is not what the world defines. It's not the world that we're living to please. But it's a God that has called us to be a peculiar people. And that has been willing and promised to put His blessing upon us. He's called us in this generation. He's called us in this time. It's not 1880 today, folks. But He's called us in 2017 to live holy and righteous and godly in this present world. Folks, not to accept what the world says is normal, that I refuse to bow down unto the idol whenever you tell me I have to bow down to this, that I have to conform myself. I'm not willing to do it. I won't do it come what may. Not in an ugly spirit, not in an ugly attitude, but I have convictions. I'm not willing because I have a different vision. That's not normal. That's not normal the way you're living, the way that you're conducting yourself, what you're presenting Hollywood. I'm sorry, it's not normal. That's not, I know you're trying to press that, and we see it with homosexual marriage. Folks, they're trying to make it normal. Notice that? They're trying to turn that into something that no longer people look at and say, "Oh." But it's something that they're starting to introduce. What was it? Beauty and the Beast, I believe they announced, is being released, and they're going to have and introduce in it a gay kiss. Something that's just kind of on the sideline, but they're starting to introduce it. Folks, there is an agenda to this world. There is a normal that the world wants to tell us. This is what you have to accept as normal. What we tell you is normal is what you have to conform yourself to. Folks, we don't have to conform ourselves. But being transformed by the renewing of your minds, that we may prove what is pleasing and acceptable to the Lord, that we can shew forth the praises of our God into a dark and sin-cursed world. To show them, no, there's a better way. You don't have to live that way. You can still love your wife. We talked about the marriage situation last night and the vice president that took a stand about his marriage and about eating with other women. Hollywood, those that are criticizing, how are your marriages working out for you? That's what's not normal. You know, we're looked at as peculiar people, as saints of God. Christians always have been. That's nothing new. They were mocked and ridiculed back in Jesus' time and the disciples' time. And I have to believe that if we're true followers today, that they'll see a difference in us as well. But you know, I've looked sometimes at what the world calls normal. I've had to say, really? You think long hair is really strange, but Skittles-colored hair is somehow okay. That's somehow normal. Somehow we've redefined what normal is. Lord, help us that we not measure ourselves by the standard of the world, by what the world's idea of normal is, because, folks, it's a moving target. If we try to conform ourselves to what the world says today, it's going to change. And then we're going to have to move ourselves again to what the world says is normal. Lord, I want to know what is normal. You know what that is? It's truth. Because that's the standard. You look at the definition of the word normal, even mathematically, it means something that's perpendicular. It's a measurement. It's absolute. It's an absolute 90 degree angle. There's no variance to it. It's not 89 degrees. It's not 91 degrees. It's normal. Normal is defined not by majority rule, not by our society, not by the Paris fashion shows, not by Hollywood, but it's defined by an unchanging God that's given us His Word as a plumb line, that's sure and absolute and unchanging despite the winds of the world. Folks, there's only one sure foundation for our lives. Don't build on the shifting sand. But that I build myself and conform my life to, Lord, what do You say is normal? What do You say is acceptable? 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 3, "For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you." You know, that's still happening today. It was written back here in Peter's day, but it's still happening today. The world is not content to just live and let live. They'll talk about tolerance. They'll talk about, you live your way and let me live my way. But tolerance is not really tolerance. If you'll notice and you'll really listen, it's not tolerance until you move and say, now what you're doing is normal. What you're doing I accept and I condone is normal. And now that's acceptable. And now again, it's a moving target. So now our family goes to the beach, dressing like we dress any other day. Who's normal? The world has an answer to that. But I want the Lord's answer. I don't want to move and measure myself to a shifting standard of the world. Lord, help me to know what's absolute. Help me to build some things in my life that aren't shifting. The world, it says, Jesus told His disciples, if you were of the world would love His own. But because you're not of the world, therefore the world hates you. Has anything changed in the last 2,000 years? Has the world all of a sudden become accepting and embracing of a true child of God that says, I want to live a clean, pure life. I want to be holy. I don't want to conform myself to what your standard of beauty is. The world says beauty is one thing, and you look at it and somehow you've got to change the image of what God made to be able to match what somebody else said, that's what beauty is. And it changes. I want to be able to measure myself by what the Lord says is beautiful and wholesome and acceptable in my life. I'd like to relate a story before we close. It was set in World War II. Warsaw, Poland, best that I recall the story. It was a family, Jewish family, and two children, Christina and Pawlik Szyger. The war was progressing, and the time that the Jews were being rounded up into ghettos and were being taken to transient camps, and then many of them to extermination camps, were being rounded up out of house and home, and there were some that organized a resistance, that some of them that would hide, no doubt read stories, Anne Frank and different ones, that would have a hiding place in their attic or somewhere that they would go and live undercover for some period of time in fear, knowing that if they're caught, it's over. This particular family, as that began to happen, word came to them that the roundup has started. They're going to be around very soon. They said it can't happen. We've got to protect our family. So they went down into the sewer drains. Them and about 20 other people went down below ground into the sewer because they were desperate for their lives. They wanted to be able to survive what was the Holocaust that was unfolding around them. They had heard stories. Yeah, it was being told to them, of course, different stories from the Germans. But the real stories began to leak back of where those trains were really going. They said, it can't happen to us. It can't happen to our family. So we're going to go down into the sewer. Can you imagine living in the sewer? It wasn't one night. It wasn't a week. 14 months that family lived in the sewer underground. They said it was dark. The child, Christina, she was something like 8 at the time. She wrote and related an account of it afterwards. Said it was dark. Couldn't hardly see. I'll leave to your imagination the smell. They said rats were running along all the time. Big, large rats. They would eat our food. They would nibble at us. They stank. Of the 20 people that were there with them, they said the majority of them died of disease and sickness and all that overtook them. But they were determined to live. It said that Christina would hear the sound of children playing in the street above, those that weren't Jewish. And she remembered what it was like. And there was something within her that longed to be able to be outside again, that longed to see the flowers blooming, the things that we take for granted. When you're down underground in the sewer, you can just remember. You can think about the things that you enjoyed so much in life. Those things that you took pleasure in, of going to the park and playing with your toys and all those things, the simple pleasures of life. She could hear the children laughing, playing, and it stirred something within her, longing to be out. But they couldn't. They knew that danger was not yet past, so they'd lose their lives. So they continued. Her brother, Pawlik, was younger than she. He was 3 years old whenever he went down into the sewer. And he quickly forgot what life was like outside the sewer. He forgot what it was like to live in a bed, in a house. The things that we think of as normal. His normal changed. In a young child's mind, that soon became the only thing that he had ever known. They said he was the one that wasn't afraid of the rats. He would feed them. They became his friends and his pets. He enjoyed the rats and would play along with them. And the smell, it was all that he had ever known. And they said the day came when they heard the tanks begin to rumble into town. And they knew that deliverance was here. They knew that the enemy had been cast out and their opportunity to finally see daylight again had come. And so they took the grate off, one by one, began crawling out. And little Pawlik was frightened because it was all he had ever known. Whenever he saw that slit of daylight and he saw people and saw them in full daylight, they said he was terrified. He wanted to go back into the sewer because it was all he had ever known. Folks, that became normal to him. But I want to tell you, the sewer is not normal. You know, I find a lot of people today playing in the sewer. I find a lot of people today that are saying this is normal. This is all I've known. This is the way I live. You know, I actually enjoy the rats. I find pleasure in the darkness. There's a certain security that it has for me. And then I see and I hear someone calling to me that sounds so far away that says, there's a different way to live. You don't have to live that way. And I say, what do you mean? It's all I've ever known. I'm comfortable here. I know what life is like here. I don't know what it's like out there anymore. Epabalek didn't recall what life was outside of the sewer. His sister still had a faint remembrance, and it created a longing within her. I would that God would stir within everyone a longing. If I realize I've been splashing around in the sewer, I realize that I have some things in my life that aren't clean. If the Lord in His mercy should cause my senses to be awakened and realize, you know what, there's a stink. There's a stench of sin about me. Listen to the call. Because folks, there's a deliverer that has come. And He's cast the enemy out of the city. There was a time, the Scripture says, they who through fear of death were all their time, all their lives, subject to bondage. But do you know that's not normal? Bondage isn't normal. That's not the plan of God. Our founders envisioned that whenever they framed the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and our Bill of Rights. That's not normal to be in bondage to another man. It's our God-given, endowed liberty that He's given us. But there are those still content when the call goes out saying there's a better way. You don't have to keep going down that path. You don't have to keep splashing around in the sewer. You can come out into the light. You can come out and get a change of clothes. The Lord has a robe of righteousness for you. He'll take the old sewer spotted garments that you have and He'll give you a change of clothes. He'll let you see the light and the flowers. You know, the perspective on life is so much different on the top side of the sewer grate. It's hard to see from down below. It's hard to imagine. You can get into a place that you feel so comfortable living where you've lived. But folks, I want to give us the challenge this morning. The Lord came a long ways, all the way from heaven to earth, to take a city that was held in bondage. The Scripture says, a stronger than the strong man has come. And He's cast out the strong man. The one that had held us in bondage. The one that prevented us from being able to come out into the light of day. From being able to enjoy the fullness of life. And for us today, liberty. Liberty is about more than just doing what I want to do. Liberty is the ability to be able to live the way God designed me to live. To be able to live full and free and with peace and joy and happiness without fear. Guilt is not normal. Guilt is something that is God-given, that's a drawing. It's His Spirit. It's His voice that calls from the top side of the sewer drain and says, you don't have to stay down there anymore. The enemy's been kicked out of the city. I've done the work for you. I've already conquered death and the grave. I've already overcome sin. So won't you come on out? You know, He won't go down into the sewer and drag anybody out. But the invitation for years after years, it's nothing new this morning. The invitation is still going out. Come out of the sewer. Come out into the light of day. Come out and enjoy life. Enjoy an abundance of what salvation has to give us. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to listen to what the enemy says. You don't want to go that way. You don't, look at those people. You haven't seen people and so, no, you don't want to, that's not normal. Go back down where the rats are. Go back down where you can hide in the darkness and feel secure. And you can live your whole life that way. But I present to you this morning, there's a much better way. So let us this morning strive and endeavor to be normal. To be normal as the Lord defines normal. According to His Word, to live the fullness of what He has for us in our life. Not what the world says is normal. Not when the world says, hey, I got a place for you to live. Here, come on down. Come on down into the sewer. That smell, you'll get used to it after a while. Those rats, oh, don't worry about it. They'll be your pets before you know it. No, there's a better way this morning. And I praise the Lord this morning for the one that came to cast the enemy out. The one that's still offering the invitation that you can be free. That you can live a life according to the way that I purposed and what I came to die for you to be able to live. Folks, we can... The world's going to laugh. The world's going to ridicule. They always have. They always will. That's not abnormal. That's not strange. We can expect that, and Jesus told His disciples that. You can expect that to happen. Scripture also coming to mind. It says, 2 Corinthians, maybe the 11th chapter, 10th or 11th, it says, "For we, commending ourselves among ourselves, are not wise." In other words, if I measure myself off of somebody else, you're not wise in doing that. If I look at what the world is, and I say, well, the world goes here now. The world dresses this way. The world thinks that way. That's normal. And I measure myself off of that normal, off of that line. Scripture says you're not wise to do that. It also goes on to say that it's not I that commendeth myself, but the Lord. Folks, it's not whether I tell the Lord, Lord, this is normal. And I've got all the reasons why I can explain to you that it's normal. I've got a whole majority of a world that'll tell me it's normal. And I've got a religious world that'll tell me it's normal. But it's what the Lord says. Here's what normal is. Here's the standard that you'll be held to. But more than that, it's the opportunity that you're presented with this morning. Amen. May God bless you.